It is time for our educational advice slot. Delighted to say I am joined once again by John Burns, former deputy principal at Rice College and director of the Burns Study Centre in Ennis. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Very well. Thanks very much for popping into us. This week, you want to talk about grinds. Specifically, are they useful? And what's the best approach to take with them?
Yeah, a good few parents would have been in touch over the year, and I get a lot of requests. Would I know someone who's good at giving a grind in Irish or maths or French or German? Typically, I can find someone for the parent. But yeah, it's an issue with parents, and this time of the year, the grinds be kind of coming to a halt. But it's the time when people are considering them for next year. So I look at three main areas, Alan. One first is why the need for grinds or for outside help, getting the best from the grind itself, and also the best methods, maybe choosing whatever grind that the parent and the student are looking for.
Okay, so I'm going to ask an obvious question. Why would a student need a grind, which seems like a silly question, because I presume the answer would be, well, they haven't been studying hard enough or they're struggling, but there may be more to it than that.
Yeah, and you know something, the availability and the need for grinds have been around as long as schools have been open, I think, you know. So I remember them when I was in secondary school, and they've been here ever since. There's a number of reasons as to why a grind might be needed. And I think the first one is the student might have chosen the wrong subject at senior cycle, and then they get stuck with that subject. For instance, if they choose accountancy, or they choose biology, and after a number of weeks they figure out this really isn't what I want to do. But at that stage it may be too late to change the options, because the destination class which they want to go to, as in the other subject, that class could be full. And you those parameters really in many schools can't be moved, and that's very frustrating for the student and very frustrating for the parents. But that student is stuck with that subject, so in that case a grind might be needed, because they're in that class and they're not motivated and they often don't want to be there. So that might be one reason as to why it might be needed. Second is maybe the student is doing really well at the ordinary level and feels that he or she wants to move up. Grinds might be a little ladder there to help them along. That's another reason as to why they might need them. And the student has been absent a lot from school and needs to focus on parts of the subject that they've missed out on. This is a very important one. If they've been out due to illness, if they've been out due to disruption at home, whatever the reason that they've missed tuition time, the grind can step in there and fill in the gap. That's very useful. Sometimes a grind might be needed when there is what we might call a breakdown in communication between the student and the teacher. And really, you know, there's a whole lot of ways you can describe that, but it comes down to the student not gelling with the teaching methods of that particular teacher. Because in secondary, students will typically meet eight teachers 5 times a week, and they'll get on fantastic with Miss A. They mightn't get on fantastic with Mr. B. And because Mr. B is teaching maths, they start underperforming at maths. The difficulty with the personality can affect the subject. And that's a real issue. Maybe the student can't focus because the class that they're in might be that bit more disruptive than perhaps it should be, and they can't concentrate. And that is kind of a class management issue. Or the student is confused as the subject teacher may have changed a lot. Something you would have noticed also is that between 50 and 60 or those 2 years, if they're in a particular subject like, say, maths or Irish or English or one of those, any of those subjects, and they might have one or two or three or four or five different teachers in that period because of, you know, parental leave and paternity leaves or sick leave or whatever happens, that's very destabilising, because there isn't a continuity of tone. There isn't a continuity of practice, and that can really affect and upset students, particularly students who are doing very well. Perhaps also the student is studying a subject outside of the school curriculum, and that's something we see a lot now, particularly if they don't get all their choices. Like, they'll do the 6 in school or the 5 in school, whatever it is, and they'll choose. They might do chemistry outside school, they might do French outside school. Now that's where a grind is definitely needed and warranted, and perhaps also revision courses. That's where they will come in there. It's very difficult for a student to study a subject when they're getting no tuition time in school.
Okay, so there's quite a number of scenarios there where a student may need grinds. In terms then of once it's decided they're going to get the grinds, how do you get the best from them? How do you decide how many or how few are needed?
Okay, good question. I think the first thing parents need to do is figure out, why are you considering going down the road of getting grind? Because this is going to be once a week. This is going to be expensive. I think they're north of €40 now for a grind. I'm not sure. But they are expensive. So why? If it's down to a genuine academic reason and you feel that this is going to help your child improve their grades, well then fine. If it's down to the student not doing the slightest bit of work, you might as well throw that money out the window, because they're going to do the same amount of work in the grind as if they're not doing the bit in the classroom, the grind is going to be completely useless, because it won't make up for all of that. Before booking a grind, I mean, definitely go to the subject teacher. I would say to all parents, if you're thinking of getting a grind for your child, go to the subject teacher in the school first. Often if you say to them, listen, my daughter is really struggling in your subject, would you keep an eye on her? And teachers really are brilliant that way. Often that means that you might not have to get the grind. You might see a massive change in the results. You might see more engagement because the teacher has been told and has been asked for help. And that's the first thing to do. It's always the most cost-effective way of doing it. Grinds, in many ways, they can't become an extra subject. If the child sees them as an extra subject on top of a huge workload as it is, it's going to be very hard for them to engage with them. I would start the grind then as soon as the student starts to struggle. Check with them as soon as they start to struggle. Maybe then it's time to click into it. I'm not overly sure that many grinds are needed at junior cycle level, because a lot of it is done now by CBAs, classroom-based assessments, and project work. So I'm really pitching towards the leaving certs and pre-leaving certs. Also in TY, if you've discovered that at junior cycle you're struggling, TY might be a good place to start doing a grind to prepare for the leaving cert in whatever subject you're struggling at. And keep your grind in conjunction with the subject teacher, if at all feasible. Now, when I say that, some parents are not inclined to go to a teacher and say, look, my child is getting a grind in your subject. But often teachers don't seem to mind that. They don't mind that because it's extra help. But if you tell the teacher, listen, Billy's getting a grind in this, what does he need to work on? What do we need to get a grinds teacher to work on? Then you have the classroom teacher working with the grinds teacher. That's a recipe for success.
That makes really, really good sense. Because if you're going for a select number of grinds, you may as well focus on the areas where the student is weakest on a particular subject. But it's an interesting point you bring up, John, that maybe a lot of parents don't go to the teacher to let them know that their son or daughter is going for grinds. Is there number of reasons for that? Maybe the parents don't even think to do that, or they feel like it would be, the teacher may be offended, it'd be a slight on their abilities to teach at this subject effectively.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Ellen. I mean, in education there are human factors, and parents may feel that, you know, if I go to the teacher and say my child needs a grind in the subject, the teacher may feel, well, you're saying I'm not doing my job. That's generally not how they react. And I think if they do react that way, it's they need to maybe wise up on that. Parents and teachers and students work as partners, and that has to be seen that way. So, I mean, I would have, when I was teaching, parents would have come and say, listen, X is struggling and we're going to get a bit of extra help. Could you work with the grinds teacher? Of course. And put out a plan for them. I think you need to get over that. But really, if you can get involved, you can get this classroom teacher involved, you're on a highway to success. And always ask the grinds teacher to go over your class notes, especially when it didn't make sense that particular day. The first few minutes of your grind, whatever you're doing, should be looking at the class notes that day. Have I got this? Do I need to go over this? Am I okay with this? And this is where I'm struggling. And then the parents must ask the child exactly where help is needed and what section of the course. Please do not simply book a grind, get your grind teacher and forget about it. You need to keep an eye on this, because what are they doing? What's been studied? And is what's been studied of value? You know, and I think also ask your grinds teacher regularly if an improvement is being seen, and then verify this with the subject teacher. So there you have student, parent, grinds teacher, and so all working together. And that's how that really works.
Okay, so in terms then of choosing the grind, because there'd be a lot of different centres such as your own, or, you know, individual teachers or tutors who will offer grinds. How do you decide upon who or which one is the best to go with?
Good question again. My own service really confines itself to supervised study, and that's where I hold on to that. We don't offer grinds and stuff, but we would always refer people. Okay, so you're choosing your grind. Make sure that you have a qualified teacher with experience in that subject and at that level. And now that might sound basic, but just make sure that if, for instance, your child needs a grind in chemistry and you get a science teacher, okay, that's fair enough. But chemistry at Leaving Cert level is a hell of a lot different than chemistry which is introduced at Junior Cert level. So has the grinds teacher studied the course, and do they know the course, and where, you know, have they experienced this? That's very important, because often once, you know, you'll just hand over your money and you just trust everything. Check. It's a quality control as well. I think the grind has to have a dedicated place and time. If that's happening in your home, that's fine, you're there. There are obvious child protection issues in relation to this, but all teachers giving grinds will have been Garda vetted. All will have done the child protection guidelines, and parents are right to ask to see their Garda vetting cert if they wish to do that. And I would encourage anything like that. But I would suggest that you have the grind at home or wherever, but not on Zoom, if possible, not on Zoom.
Difficult to really engage in a grind over Zoom?
Very much so, especially if the kid is inclined to switch off the camera.
Very good point, actually. Yeah.
And it's not the same. You haven't got the same interaction. Now, it may have to happen because of availability, but the physical presence is far more better. And that if you're going, say, for a group of grinds, or you want to go, say, for revision courses, then that you go to a recognised and reputable grind school. And we have them here in Innes. My own centre would provide a supervised study, but there's a fantastic service here in town, Kilmartin's Education, who do all the grinds and do all the revision courses, and is popular and is very successful. So there are options there. And before you start anything, agree the fee. Cheaper does not always necessarily mean you've got the best person.
Yeah, that's an obvious point, but one maybe that's forgotten about by parents who will want to get grinds but want to get a good deal.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Grinds, is there a deal there or whatever? But remember, too, when you're taking on a grind, you are taking on the services of a professional teacher. So, you know, the grind won't be cheap, but it will be effective if done properly.
Okay, some really, really good advice on that. Anything to add before we wrap up?
No, I just think that these are just kind of, you know, casters on the bike. If the student is going to school, doing a bit in school, getting a bit of help from the teacher, doing a bit of homework and a bit of study, they will not need grinds. And if they're at the right level. While I'm on it also, I'd say I also caution very much against parents forcing children to stay in higher level subjects when it's patently clear that they're not able for it. The stress of that is unbearable. And again, get advice from the school, career guidance and the subject teacher.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant advice, and very much needed, I'm sure, as we come into this part of the year. Former Deputy Principal of Rice College, and also from the Burns Study Centre in Ennis, John Burns. John, thanks as ever.
Alan.